Welcome back to Just Grab Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon. In episode 13, we have a really solid lineup for you. First up, we're joined by the UFC Fight Island 5 headliner, Marlon Moraes, to preview his fight against Corey Sandhagen. Really intriguing matchup and fight. We talk about Moraes kind of being disrespected by the UFC as of late. He beat Jose Aldo at UFC 245, and then it was Aldo that got the tail shot because Dana White thought Aldo won. We talk about the camp's fight against Peter Yan, how he was kind of disappointed he wasn't the one fighting for the vacant belt because he had a case. He's coming off the win over Aldo, but he really wants a Yan matchup, but he's not looking past Corey Sandhagen, who he knows is a tough matchup. Really intriguing matchup. Right now, Marlon Moraes is the underdog, which I'm a bit surprised, which is because last time out, we saw Sandhagen get submitted really fast to Sterling. Moraes has all the skill set. He has the submissions. He has the knock power. Should be an amazing main event this Saturday night. Next up, we're joined by Tim Johnson to preview his rematch against Czech Congo at Bellator 248. Or Bellator UFC 10. They do this split card, kind of a weird thing, but Tim Johnson's getting that rematch against Congo that he called for. That was his first fight in Bellator. Lost in very quick fashion by knockout. He's coming off some really good wins, Matt Mitchell and Tyrell Fortune. He's looked good. This is a big one for him. If Tim Johnson wins, he's probably next in line for Ryan Bader. If Congo wins, he really wants that rematch. Then next, we're joined by Jigga Chigadazi to preview his fight against Omar Morales. We'll talk about him testing positive for COVID and not being able to fight Bruce Leroy. But the positive of that was he gets to go to Fight Island. This is somewhere where he really wanted to go. Right when they announced Fight Island, Jigga was all over Dana White in the matchmakers. Book me on Fight Island. He now gets a shot against an undefeated Omar Morales. He's dropping down from lightweight to featherweight. Should be a really entertaining, striking matchup. And finally, we're joined by Yusuf Salal. Just a quick note, this interview was done before his opponent switched. So we talked about Sungwoo Choi, no longer his opponent. But still a really good interview and having so many fights. Fourth fight of the year for him. He's looking to go 4-0 in the UFC so far this year. Really highly touted prospect right now. Really has some good wins. If he gets a win here, 4-0 in the UFC, he says he wants to turn around again, try to go 5-0 this year. If he does, he's somewhere to watch out where he could easily be ranked by the end of this year, early next year. So really good show. I hope you guys enjoy. Be sure to share the show. It's on iTunes, any podcast platform. So share, subscribe, and thank you all for listening.
All right, we're joined by UFC Bantamweight, who's headlining a really big card up against Corey Sandhagen. Marlon Moraes, how's it going?
I'm good. Training been hard, you know, and I can't wait to get in the cage and perform and do what I do. You know, getting in there, mix things up, and put in a great fight.
Let's just start before we get into your fight. Your last fight, how frustrating has that been? Where I thought you clearly won that fight. I thought you won 2-1. And then since then, basically the UFC and a lot of fans have just been viewing you've lost that fight. And you haven't been able to get a fight since then. So what has your mindset been like?
Yeah, roller coaster, you know. At some points I was upset. And then I have to realize that I need to fight. I need to find a way to get back and perform and show my skills. And stuff, you know. You fight a legend. You fight a guy like Aldo. And I won the fight, but was a close decision. And stylistically, the last round was I won, but was kind of a smart fight. You know, I outstruck him. I think I was the smarter fighter, and this is why I won. And he was the tough guy because he was walking forward, but he was getting hit. But for the crowd, it's Aldo. For the UFC, it's Aldo. For everyone, Aldo always going to be Aldo. It's hard to beat. And just the fact that I beat him in a decision made me realize that, man, you won. Because nobody was going to beat him in a decision. That's Aldo right there, you know.
And then to see him go out and fight Peter Yan for the belt, like, was that even more frustrating because you were supposed to fight Peter Yan before this, and then the guy you beat ends up leapfrogging you for the title shot?
Frustration was being that I lost the fight. I was supposed to fight with Peter Yan, and my opponent end up fighting for the belt. But for Aldo, you know, Aldo's always Aldo. He proved he could make 35, and they understand they could give him a title shot. And I could not be upset, you know. It is what it is. I just got to get back to the gym and see who was going to fight next. And I thought I was going to fight Cody Garbrandt. He won. Made a lot of sense. Number three guy in the world, number four. But he ended up not fighting me. He ended up moving down the division. So it was hard because who I was going to fight? And because Cody Sandhagen just had lost to Sterling in under 2 minutes, and I just beat Sterling a couple years ago, and I beat him kind of quick, you know, and didn't make much sense that fight for me. But at other view, Cody Sandhagen is one of the best fighters in the world, and that was an opportunity for me to showcase my skills, get back in the cage, and have another opportunity, you know, show I still got a lot in me, you know, I'm still improving, and I can't wait to get in there and show my skills.
You're a guy that you've been scheduled to go five rounds a couple times, like you had Cejudo, a Sunset, like you've been main events, Jimmy Rivera as well. This is going to be Sandhagen's first main event in the UFC, first time going five rounds. How do you think that's going to impact him?
I think it doesn't matter. He's a guy that he's always fighting in a good pace, and he's a smart fighter too. And the fact is, he never fought me, you know. That's the biggest thing. That's not how many rounds. This is who he's fighting. And I believe I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to show him things that he never seen before.
And with Sandhagen, he's obviously coming off that loss where he got submitted against Sterling. But this fight, a lot of people are viewing this as just a striking matchup. Do you think this is going to be a striking fight, or do you think it's going to hit the mat at some point?
He knows grappling. I know grappling, you know, when that's five rounds, it's a big opportunity. We end up fighting on the ground. And in the fight, you always have to find the ways to beat your opponent. And in an MMA match, we can fight everywhere. And I think this fight will end up getting on the ground as well.
And you have five rounds to work, but a lot of times you don't even need that five rounds. You normally only take about a round or two. Do you think this is a fight you can get another stoppage win?
He's a tough guy. Tough guy. He's a good fighter. It's hard to put away, but we work hard, and we think we're going to get in there, and we're going to win. Doesn't matter how we win, five rounds, four rounds. We want to get in there. We want to perform, have a good fight, and win.
And you're heading out to Fight Island. Is this somewhere you wanted to go, or would you rather just fought in Vegas?
It's good. You know, it's a good opportunity to go to Fight Island, new experience. And we're living these times now. This pandemic's been crazy. And everyone is going there. Everyone's fighting there. I'm excited. I'm excited to go there to see everything, feel the atmosphere, and perform.
How weird is it for you? Your last three fights, you obviously were on UFC 245, your last time, one of the biggest cards, 238, a big card. And then your one before that was headlining in Brazil. To now have no fans this time out, like, how much different is that going to be for you?
We don't know. I still didn't fight like that, you know, and I never fought with no crowd. But maybe it's going to be kind of like we have in the gym, you know. Must be good to listen to the coaches, you know, and have a good fight, you know. Don't make mistakes. And I'm excited. New experience, you know. I'm a fighter. I've been in the game for a long time, and I'm always looking for challenges and for new experiences. This is what I'm here. Let's go. Let's fight, and let's win another one.
And Peter Yan, who's obviously the champion, what did you make of his performance against Aldo?
Peter is a good fighter, you know, but he got holes. We all got holes. We all can be beaten, and I don't think he's unbeatable, and I believe a lot of people can beat him. He can beat a lot of people, too. And it's just a matter of time. We all on the top. We all fight each other. We all going to have the opportunity to put our hands on each other. And I look forward and eventually fight him.
A lot of people thought it would be Sterling Yan next, but they still haven't booked that fight. And your fight's coming up really soon. So do you think if you put on a good performance here, get a good finish, you could leapfrog Sterling and get that next shot?
This is what I always say. You are only remembered for your last fight. You wait too much, and then nobody gonna remember what you did, you know. Let's get in there, let's have a good fight, and let's see what happens next. With the UFC, everything changes, and things make and change. We never know.
This is your first fight of the year, about a 10-month layoff. Obviously, this isn't ideal for you, but I know you've, like, how has training been? Because you've had a lot of time since your last time we saw you.
Feel healthy, you know. I'm healthy, I improve. My game is getting better, you know, and more time they give me, better I'm going to be. And I believe I'm going to be well prepared for this one and for the future ones.
Corey Sandhagen's a long guy. He's 5'11", like a 70-inch reach. He's a bit taller, a bit longer reach. Like, how do you, is the part of the game plan just making this a dirty fight? Get inside so he can't just use that jab on you?
Yeah, he's a long guy. He knows how to use his range. But we are well prepared, and we're going to make a way to get in inside and touch him. It's not easy, but we're going to work it, and we're going to get there ready, and we're going to make him pay. Every time he tried to touch me, I'm going to touch him first.
And I know Randy Costa was training at ATT, and I talked to him, and he said you guys were getting good luck because he's another taller bantamweight. How important was that look? Because he's a similar frame to Sandhagen.
Yeah, Randy's a very talented guy, and since the first time I trained with him, I told him he's special, you know, and I think he's in the right path, young guy, 26 years old, and I see him in the future getting to the top. I think he have everything. It's he had the mindset. He just got to work hard, be in the gym, and I think he's going to reach his potential, and he's going to be eventually a top 15 for sure.
And with ATT, who else have you been working with for this camp?
A lot of guys, man. We got a lot of guys, and I'm just trying to get looks each day with different guys. So each one have a different unique style. Cody Sandhagen is a guy that moves a lot. You know, he gives a lot of different looks, and I'm just making sure I'm ready for everything.
And this is your first fight of the year. If everything goes your way on October 13th, like, or October 10th, sorry, like, do you think you're going to get one more in, or do you think you're kind of in that waiting game to see if you get that next title shot?
No, hopefully I can get another one. Hopefully I can fight October and December. And I'm excited. I'm healthy. I want to get in there October 10th. I want to have a war. And after that, we'll see when we'll be back next. But I want to get back in December.
Would you be open to waiting then if you are next, but you have to wait for quite a while, or do you just want to keep this momentum, get another one in, and then you're for sure the next guy?
Yeah, I've been everywhere in this division, so when times come, time will come. You know, I don't want to do like these guys. I want to fight. I want to wait for the title shot. I'm done with this. You know, I want to keep winning. I want to keep adding W to my record. And when the fight comes, it will come. You know, you don't choose. The time chooses you. And I want to be fighting, be active. And when the UFC thinks I'm next for the fight, for the belt, I will fight.
Do you think there's more pressure on you in this fight to put on a good performance? Because it seems like a lot of fans thought you lost that last fight, and then that'd be a 2-fight losing streak to a lot of people. But even though you won it, like, do you think there is more pressure to go out and get a good win here?
It's always pressure. When you are a UFC fighter and you fight for the biggest promotion in the world, you are the best fighters in the world, you always going to be under pressure. Doesn't matter at the level. If you are the first undercard, if you're the fifth undercard, if you're the main event, if you're fighting for the belt, if you contender, if you're the champion, it's always pressure. If you don't want to fight under pressure, you should change your profession and go do something else.
Yeah.
And this is what we do. We live under pressure. We fight under pressure. That's it.
Really, after this one, I think there's really only two fights that make sense for you. It's obviously the Peter Yan for the belt or the Aljamain Sterling rematch. Like, are those about the only two guys you think would be next for you after this one?
Yeah, man. That's guys. I want to fight with the best. I know Sterling and Yan, they are there. And maybe we can fight them.
Is Frankie Edgar about the only guy at bantamweight you wouldn't fight? Because I know you guys are really close friends.
Frank's almost fighting for the belt too. You know, he's up there. We never know. And hopefully we can get to the belt. But if we get to the belt, that's not much we can do, you know. But I am always supporting him. And hopefully he keep doing well. He looked good. His last fight was a very close fight. I thought could go either way. And We never know.
Bantamweight division is one of the most stacked divisions in the UFC, probably in the entire sport as well. So, like, how important is this one to get your hand raised? And then, because the win here gets you right in that title talks, but a loss to Sandhagen probably moves you down to about fourth, fifth, or in the rankings.
Yeah, the division stacked, you know, you just said it's from number 1 to number 15. It's everybody, they're all good fighters and they're all tough fights. You can beat everybody, but in a bad day, you can lose to a number 15, number 10, like you just said. And you just have to be competitive. You have to put on a show, fight hard, and do what you do, you know. And I know the UFC, it's always going to back down the guys that get in there and they give their best. You know?
And just two more things. After that Cejudo fight, a lot of people were questioning your cardio, but you cardio really showed up in that Aldo fight. Going five rounds again here, is that more of a part of the training, is to really just shut up all those people that say, oh, Marlon can't go five rounds?
Yeah, man, definitely. I want to get in there and I want to go five rounds and show to the world that I'm a championship caliber, that I can be a world champion. And that's why I work every day. I work every day to become the number one. I know I'm close and I'm going to get there again.
And just last thing, how do you see yourself getting your hand raised here?
Tough fight. We know it's a tough fight. It's like a chess match, fight a guy like Sandhagen. But I see myself getting a good fight, and doesn't matter. Decision, knockout, submission. I want to get my hand raised and win.
All right, well, Marlon, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. Hopefully you have a good afternoon.
All right, we're joined by Bellator heavyweight Tim Johnson, who gets his rematch against Chuck Conger coming up soon. Tim, how's it going?
Doing good. Just kind of, you know, business as usual right now.
Obviously, your Bellator debut was against Chuck Conger. Didn't go your way. Lost in just over a minute. Ever since then, we've talked often, and you've really wanted this rematch. So when you got the call, like, what was it like when they finally offered this rematch?
I was pretty excited about it. Originally, I thought I was going to be fighting last weekend, actually, here this September 11th. But cause like 3 weeks ago, they were like, hey, we were going to push it back to October 10th. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I've been going strong since like June 30th and I've been taking really a breather. But just kind of rolled into it. But no, I was happy with the rematch. And as I've said, you know, leading up to it when I was talking about getting a rematch with them, it's not so much like a vendetta against, you know, Czech. It was just a, you know, such a shit fight for me. Like, that's not like how I can handle losing, just not like that.
And that was your Bellator debut. And then since then, you obviously lost to Nemkov, Minnikov, sorry, in that.
Yeah.
And since then, you've got the back-to-back knockout wins. How much better do you think, or more comfortable in Bellator are you now compared to your first fight with Conger?
I think quite a bit. I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, I almost forgot how hard MMA actually is. Like, you know, I was just showing up doing, you know, just kind of going through the routine of it and not really, you know, putting your all into it, I guess. I don't know, but that's not the best way to say it either. I, you know, I just think I got maybe a little too comfortable and forgot absolutely how hard a fight is.
And you're going out to Paris for this one, which is going to be the first major promotion to hold an MMA event in Paris. What's that going to be like? Because right now you guys are scheduled to be the main event, so it's obviously historic to be that main event of that first brand.
Yeah, I know. You know, this last, you know, looking back at my career, I'm like, oh man, you know, that's you know, I've had quite an interesting career, I guess you could say. You know, with ups and downs, and you know, just kind of curveballs, and you know, it's kind of nice. You know, my very first time headlining a fight is in, you know, a situation like this, which is, you know, no matter what, it'll be attached to some sort of history.
And I'm not sure you saw, but Bellator did say, like, I guess France's government said they are going to allow, like, a small number of fans in the event. So, obviously, they're all going to be booing you because Conger is from there. So, are you kind of hoping there'd be no fans, or do you like having a bit of fans in there?
Actually, I loved the no fans with my Fab Mitrione. That was kind of a – it was very more business-like. And I don't know. It's kind of weird to explain. But – the amount of fans that they're going to allow in probably isn't going to be, you know, astronomical. I think I read maybe somewhere just like a couple hundred or something like that. I'm not sure what it is going to be, but the boos aren't anything big. I'm used to being an underdog and I'm used to fighting in foreign countries. So it all works out.
And with this rematch, like, how do you see this fight playing? Because obviously we didn't really see much in the first one. And because to me, like, although it is a rematch, it kind of is a fresh match. It just because that first one ended so quickly.
Yeah, no, you know, that first one was just fluky, would be the best word for it. I don't know what to, because, you know, it wasn't a knockout. I was aware the whole time I was there and kind of just fell over and just holding on to his leg, and the ref stopped it. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's over. But, you know, I think, you know, that was 2 years ago, almost to the day. And, yeah, I think it's going to be, I'm 100% different fighter than I was a couple of years ago. So it should show.
Congo's 45. Is it, like, just looking at his opponent, is it pretty incredible of how elite and high level he is still at 45?
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, physically he's like, you know, late 30s. His age is just a number on him. you know, it's both people looking at me, they think I'm 45, but I'm really 35.
With Congo's last fight was for the belt, that no contest to Ryan Bader. What did you take away from that fight that you can implement in your fight against him?
I actually haven't gone into so much in-depth, you know, planning into, you know, watch a video yet. That's going to actually be coming this week right now. Really, you know, study and divulge into, you know, maybe some stuff that I could maybe expose, but you're not going to expose too much on the striking game with Jack. You know, he's been around, he's been at this for a while. basically it's just got to be a little more patient and be ready, you know, take a couple more shots and, you know, don't be so nervous about being inside the cage with him. I think first time through I had like, you know, there's a fake confidence. You know, I put on a smile and put on, oh, I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. But I think deep down, I was probably not thinking I was on his level or something on that, along that lines. And, you know, confidence is a real thing, and I think I got a lot of it right now.
In your last two fights too, your striking in Bellator and even in your latter parts of the UFC looked a lot better. How much better is your striking now? Just because in the beginning stages you were just kind of that rest that you just go to look at. Now it seems like you're be willing to strike and you are comfortable standing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it has to do with who I have as training partners. You know, Every weight that's in here, you know, can pretty much, not want to say run circles around me striking, but they still probably have better striking, but it gives me more confidence, especially when I start landing with them, I start moving a little bit more and maybe finally starting coming in my own a little bit. You know, 35, so I've been fighting, like real fighting for, you know, 6 years. So now it's starting to finally be second nature, not forced.
With Congo, like, he obviously has to, like, he's on that big winning streak, except then no contest to Bader. So what do you think, you're obviously entering this fight with a lot of confidence. How much do you think that helps you? Just because your first fight, obviously first fight in Bellator, but now two straight wins, you were big first round knockout win. Like, how much better is the confidence now compared to that first fight?
Through the roof. Like, it's night and day difference. I mean, you know, coming over, changing promotions and all that, and, you know, just, you know, questioning yourself, questioning your future. And yeah, I mean, it gets it. I mean, it's a 100% mental game more than it is physical game. I think most fighters will tell you that. Beyond the bumps and bruises, it's all in your head. Think you're going to win, you're going to have a better shot of winning. If you start questioning yourself, you're probably not.
Is it weird to see, like, what's kind of happening this year? Because entering your fight against Power Forge, a lot of people are thinking you were that name that they were going to add to Fortune's record. Like, a lot of people are counting you out. And now a lot of people are thinking, like, oh, you're going to go 0-3 in Bellator. Like, is he even going to stay in Bellator? Now you're headlining a show, and if you win this, you're in the title talk. Is it weird how much this has changed?
Yeah, you know, I talked about that, my fight before, one of my interviews before fighting Matt. I'm like, man, MMA is a strange world. You know, I went from, you know, two fights, you know, back then it would have been going into my trial fight. Go, man, if I lose this fight, I'm back down to the regional level. If I'm back down to the regional level, I might just call it quits and go back to the farm and start working. But, you know, you rack off a couple good wins and you're right back into the mix.
Is part of the game plan in this fight to just go back to your wrestling, or do you think you can strike with Jack?
Nah, you got to strike with him. You can't just, you know, I think that was part of the problem my first fight. You know, I wasn't mentally ready to get hit, get kicked. And, you know, I rushed in for a single leg that wasn't there, got clipped on the way in, fell over. And you know, that was all the fight that really was. Not to mention rewatching the fight, it looked like I was throwing like half speed on my, like, I wasn't even throwing my hands, like, with any authority or any, like, intent to really hurt. I was throwing, looked like I was just throwing scared, honestly. And, you know, this time around, it's a bite. Hit, get hit, you know, get hit, hit back.
I was looking at your record, and I don't see you've ever been in a rematch. Is this your first time rematching someone?
Yeah, the first time rematching.
So what does training camp change then in a rematch?
I don't know. Pretty much training camp just always is better. It is working on stuff that I'm good at. It's not so much working on stuff the other guy throws for me. But yeah, you know, it was been, you know, like I said, like June 30th is when I started camp for Matt. And took like a little 3-day break after that fight, and then came right back into the gym and started another training camp. So it's just been, a little mundane. This one's been getting a little long. Two training, you know, it's been, by the time fight comes around, it's 14-15 week camp almost. So it's I was ready to fight last week, but just gotta wait a couple more weeks, I guess.
Obviously, checks right up there. It's probably gonna be Minnikov next for the title. So. Where do you think went over Czech Pitsy? Like, do you think that puts you next in line right after Minnikov?
I think it's got to be right there. You know, you get a win here. I wouldn't think why not. I mean, Czech fought for the title his last fight. Matt Mitrione was in the semifinals. I beat those two. Then I would think that'd be enough, but who knows? Like I said, MMA is a, you know, it's a strange, weird, it's a strange sport, strange world.
Obviously, you're getting this rematch, but are you still want that Minnikov rematch just because how everything happened, like taking that fight on, like, what was it, like 6-7 hours?
No, about 7 or 8. I think I accepted the fight at noon that day. So yeah, it was you know, that's a guy like Minnikov, you can't fight on 8 hours notice. You need to train for him. He's just too talented. I mean, a fight's a fight, but you know, you always got a puncher's chance, but you can't just go in there and expect good results with a guy like him. But yeah, no, I guess I don't know. I'll leave it up to them. First, I got to take care of business with Czech. You know, if nothing else, I mean, win, lose, draw. I just want to go out there and be happy with my performance.
This is your third fight of the year and fourth in about like 13 month span. So, like, was this always the goal of 2020? Is be this active and get yourself back up into where you were when you signed with Bellator?
Yeah, I want to be more active fighter. You know, fighting once a year is not a good way to go financially or career wise. Especially when you're in that mid, like, you know, 35, I'll be turning 36 here in, you know, 6 months. And, yeah, once you got Father Time knocking on your back, you want to start racking up as many fights as you can, because eventually you're not going to be able to do it anymore.
And the heavyweight division, obviously, Ryan Bader is the champion. He went back down to light heavyweight and lost to Nemkov. What did you make away from that point? Do you think he is better, much better at heavyweight then?
I think it was my own personal opinion. I think going back down kind of hindered him because he went back – because he was at heavyweight, you know, he won the belt at light heavyweight, then went up to heavyweight for the tournament, won it. And, you know, going back down is different than going up. You know, I just my take from it. I just think that maybe it hurt him a little bit more going back down that weight cut or losing the weight, losing the mass. It just wasn't the same. Maybe he goes back down, but he's probably, my guess would be probably going to stick with heavyweight.
If you get your hand raised here, like, how quickly would you want to turn this around? Or is it just depending on what they do with the title? You might be in a bit of a pause here if they do Bader Minnikov and you're kind of that next guy.
Yeah, you know, I don't – maybe not. I'd like a little bigger breather. Like, you know, get a win or lose. I'd like to have a fight, like, maybe February. I think I need a little bit of a breather here. Got some aches and some, you know, bumps and bruises that need to get a little bit healed up. And – a little break probably wouldn't hurt, but I definitely don't want to be waiting on the shelf for 6 months.
Will this be your first time going out to Paris?
This will be my first time to Paris. Yes, it will.
All right. Do you plan on spending a bit of a vacation after the fight out there, or are you just going to be heading back to Vegas?
I will be heading back to Vegas. My first child is due on October 14th.
So you've got to rush back right away.
Yes. So, we're hoping she does not arrive early and that we're she's going to be on the due date. So when I get back on October 11th, we can prepare and I can see her birth.
Was that part of the reason you wanted this fight in September?
Yeah, I did. And you could call back and it's like, hey, October 10th. And they're like, that's not going to work. I got a baby being born on October 14th. And talk to my wife and she's like, well, you know, it's your job. Got to go take care of business and come back and watch her reborn. I'm like, okay.
So obviously going out to Paris was all cool, headlining that first show, but you kind of wish it was in the States and so it was just a short trip back. So just in case anything happened in the
soon. Yeah, no, I mean, in the perfect world, I would love to have been, you know, just here in Vegas. I've been great. But, you know, it's work. In the best year, you only work 4 times a year on average. So you got to make sure you take the opportunities when they're presented.
Does that add some motivation for this fight, just getting that win and obviously just putting yourself in a better position when your baby is born?
Yeah, I know. It's been a motivation, you know, the last couple of fights, actually. You know, I knew it'd be going into the Tyrell fight and then going into Matt fight. And yeah, it's definitely more of a motivator. Start off life a little bit better in a better off place than where you could potentially be.
I don't know if you pay much attention to like betting odds, but you've only been a favorite in Bellator once. Now is that first fight. Since then, you've been pretty big underdogs. You didn't hear you're going to be back to being the underdog again here.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's the same thing as my UFC career. I don't think I was only favorite once, and yeah, that didn't go that way either. Fought that with a bunch of bulge disc. It doesn't usually help. Yeah, I'm used to being an underdog. And I embrace it. You know, no one ever expects anything out of me. I like surprising people.
And last thing, sometimes you see it with the mustache. Sometimes you got the beard. Sometimes you're shaving. What's the fight? What do you know? What you're gonna do for fight day this time around?
Not this time around. I don't know. It depends. It depends on the next 3 weeks, I guess. We'll see how the growth goes, and we'll see what I got.
How long does it take you to grow that? Like that right now?
This right here. This has been about 5-6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for doing this, Gunnar. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
All right. We're joined once again by UFC featherweight Giga Chigadaze. Giga, how's it going?
Going good, my friend. How are you doing?
I've been well. Last time we talked was obviously supposed to be before your fight with Alex Caceres. You ended up getting COVID and you didn't get that fight. What went through your head when you found out you had that, obviously, COVID and you wouldn't be able to fight?
I found out this late in the night. They called me from UFC and they letting me know about it. But yeah, I mean, like morning I woke up, I took all my family members in for COVID testing, and all my team went. Also, close to 20 people totally did tests because of me, and none of those guys had it. Nobody in my family, nobody in the gym. Not in any coach. So I sent all the paperwork to UFC and they told me like, hey, you know, Giga, there are a lot of fake testing going and you're more than welcome to come in Vegas. We're going to test you again and we can see what we can do. So I put my family in my car. My son, daughter, and my wife was sitting on the car. Because, you know, I was kind of a little bit tired and cutting weight at the moment because it was close to the fight. So we drive straight to Vegas. Stane and I, we tested again. Next morning they said that I still have COVID. So it was very sad for me. You know, I try everything what I could do, even after first positive test. I still was hoping that maybe something would change, so I was keep training. But unfortunately, this fight didn't work it out. Especially like on my birthday was answer of last test. They told me that, you know, fighting. It was very sad for me, but it is what it is. We're going on the next one.
Were you hoping that the UFC would just rebook the Caceres fight, or were you told that he was going to be getting
that? That's what was I really hoping, because as I mentioned before too, that this was a fight that I was looking for a long time. back in the days when I was in Georgia, in my home country. I was watching with my buddies his fight, and he's such an exciting fighter. So I was hoping that we're gonna have some nice striking, exciting fight for the fans.
And now, but the good news of all this is you're actually getting out, you're going out to Fight Island, because I know that's what you wanted, you versus Bruce Lee on Fight Island. So yeah. Is that a bit of a consolation that you can go out there and fight?
That's amazing. Yeah, man. I'm really excited for Fight Island. You know, there is no Fight Island without me. That's what I was saying from the beginning. And finally, I'm getting there. I'm very excited for this one.
And you're fighting Omar Morales, an undefeated guy. He's a lightweight moving back down to featherweight. How do you think that weight cut's going to affect him? Do you think he's going to be a lot bigger than you?
I'm not sure about that, because I'm pretty big for featherweight. You know, I've been fighting in lightweight too before. So I don't think he's going to be way bigger. He might be a little bit bigger. We might be on the same size, because I'm 6 feet. He's a little bit shorter than me. I've seen his body type. He's kind of strong, you know, upper body type guy. I'm in general, I have kind of balanced body. I'm not way big on up or lower. So I'm very excited for this fight, because as you mentioned, he's undefeated till now. So I need to bring some bad news for him for this fight.
How much do you know about him? Because in his lightweight fights, he's a guy that likes to strike. Do you think he's – but normally when people fight you, they're looking to obviously take you down just because of your kickboxing background. Yeah.
This is not going to be the difference, because I believe everyone in UFC going to try to take me down. And he's not going to be different either. I watched Alex Caceres fight against Austin Springer too. Once I pull out, he fought this guy, and he won the fight in the first round with submission. And I watched his interview too. That's exactly what was.
With the, can you talk?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's all good now. It's all good.
Yeah. So, it was some connection error. So that's exactly what he said, Alex Caceres, that he said that I was preparing to win the fight with exactly the same submissions. I wanted to take the giga down and submit him. I know, guys. I know even Alex Caceres is a striker and, like, you know, some fancy stuff he used to do. Everyone going to try to take me down. Submit me, but I have even better news, guys. You know, my wrestling got so much better. I take people down. Like, I'm not gonna mention the names of my teammates, but I'm almost taking down everyone. And these guys are bigger than me, and my jiu-jitsu is getting better, because everyone around me are black belts. Most of them are Brazilians, and I do jiu-jitsu every day past, like, I don't know, 5-6 years. So I'm excited to bring some new weapons in the game.
How do you see this fight playing out? Because obviously you are a much more decorated striker than Omar. But as we mentioned, like, Omar's probably going to try to shoot on you.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I see he's going to come strike a little bit. He's going to think I'm going to engage in a back and forth striking, and he's going to try to take me down. That's how we're going to start fight. And I'm just going to defend his takedown and keep standing. Gonna see if I have a opportunity for taking him down. And if I manage to take him down, I'm going to try to submit him. If no, I'm just going to try to knock him out in a stand-up game.
Is the goal, though, to get a finish? Obviously, this is your fourth UFC fight. Your first three went the distance. Is that because you had a ton of finishes on the regional season in kickboxing? Is that part of the goal, is to get your first UFC finish?
For sure, man. It's time now. You know, like, I've been in UFC in the cage, octagon, for 45 minutes. This is already a big experience. These 45 minutes, I needed to let myself get comfortable, you know, get confident, comfortable, see that there is nothing big difference between the other shows and UFC or even kickboxing and the UFC. Once I'm standing up and nobody taking me down, it's even easier. And this is what I'm going to prove right now in this fight.
Are you hoping you can make another quick turnaround fight again this year? Or do you think this is going to be it and y'all get ready again for next year?
I heard some guys like Mirsad Bektic don't have opponent for this week. I would love to fight him this Saturday in 3-4 days and fly after this in Abu Dhabi. Or even if this not going to work, I messaged Sean Shelby yesterday and I was trying to see if he was still available, because I heard that Edward Garagori cannot fight him because of some COVID issues in the team. And I'm here. I'm ready to go, man. I'm in one of the best shape of my life. I feel I'm the leader of my division. Yeah, I'm not officially champion. I don't have a belt, but I don't see anybody standing in front of me for 15 minutes anymore. So even next week, there is a guy, Shane Young. He don't have opponent. I heard this. I'm here. I would love to fight him next week and then stay in Abu Dhabi 2 more weeks and fight Omar too. If I ended up with only one fight in October with Omar, I would love to fight definitely at least in December too.
And I know, obviously, one of your main training partners is Beneil Dariush. How disappointing is that for him? Because he was getting that big fight against Charles Oliveira, and then obviously Oliveira had to pull out. So, because he's been a guy that deserved a top 10, top 5 guy for a while, and none of those guys have been accepting him.
Yeah, man, these guys been fighting against anybody, anytime. You know, like I believe, like we talked, he's one of my best friends, of course, my main sparring partner. But we talked about what he could do, but he still wanted to fight people, anybody, you know, even somebody out of top 10 or top 15. But I really believe that he deserves someone to fight in top 10. You know, it's time, man. It's time. He welcomes everyone. When he was top 10, he fought even Alex Sander Hernandez. He was making his debut, you know. So that kind of things says a lot about Beneil. The people don't know, you know, he's not the guy who's a trash talker, or he is not the guy who writes a lot of tweets or on social media, but man, he's one of my favorite fighter, and I'm not saying that because of he's my one of best friends.
And if you beat Omar, what will that be like for you to hand him his first loss? He's a guy that has some hype behind him.
Yeah, well, you mean when, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after this fight, I see myself in top 15, or if I'm not going to be there yet, at least next fight must be some top 15 guy. I try to schedule the fights against, let's say, Edson Barbosa and some big names in UFC. That's what I'm looking for, you know. I've been a big name in kickboxing for a long time, and I have a background, I have my fan base, and people are messaging me, hey, why are you not fighting this guy and some pretty famous fighters in UFC? And I cannot really explain them why. Now it's time. I believe UFC need to give me a little bit extra push, and I got a style what UFC needs, so fans like it. I'm excited. I don't know what's going to be, who they're going to bring, but I really feel that this must be some top 15 guy.
And just last thing, are you still interested in having that Bruce and Leroy fight after this, or do you think that's one that might just have to be pushed to the side for a bit?
Unfortunately, I cannot hear nothing.
Do you think the Bruce Leroy fight makes sense?
I don't hear anything, brother.
Can you hear me now or no?
Need to have a chat. Hello?
Hello?
No.
All right, I think we're good then. Thank you.
Should I call you or
go? No, it's all good.
Yeah?
Yeah, all good.
Watch out. Why do you have to walk across, too?
Why?
I'm doing a call.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Just one more thing. After this fight, do you think that Bruce Leroy fight makes sense?
I would love to, yeah. I know he don't have anything scheduled. Hopefully, they're not going to schedule him anything yet. And after this fight, I would love to face him as soon as possible.
Well, Giga, that's all I have for you. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, have a good one.
I want to give a really quick shout out to my sponsors.
Yeah.
Petrocast Energy Group and Achara.com. These guys have been helping me for a long time. And I have a pleasure to be here and be a full-time 100% MMA fighter and make my training. So I'm really thankful to them.
All right, we're joined by UFC Featherweight and looking to go 3-0. Yusuf Salal. Yusuf, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. Looking to go 4-0. I mean, you already are 3-0 in 2020. You're one of these rare guys getting four fights.
I think I'm like the only one that has a fourth fight confirmed and ready to fight. I don't care, but hey, man, I'm just excited, like you said, ready to go have some fun.
Has this year been surreal for you? Obviously, your UFC debut earlier this year, and then the momentum you've been on, like picking up three wins in a calendar year and looking for your fourth.
Oh yeah, man! Like it's definitely been crazy, you know. Like oh my god! Like I was looking for a fight last year. All of a sudden, I'm fighting in the biggest stage. Now I'm fighting all on. So it's almost like you don't believe it, but it just shows what patience and dedication will do for you.
Heading out to Fight Island, was this something you wanted?
To be honest, I really didn't care. I know my coach didn't want to go to Fight Island, but for me, I was like, hey, I thought when they called me, I thought it was in Vegas, but they told me, no, you're going to Fight Island. And I was like, oh God, oh, awesome. Let's do it. So coach's not happy about it, but hey, it is what it is.
Hey, your opponent, Sungwoo Choi, personally, I am surprised as who you're getting. I thought you would have got someone higher ranked. Were you surprised this is who you're fighting?
Man, a lot of people keep saying that, man. He's no joke. He's a great kickboxer. You know, a lot of people say it because he got submitted and all that, and he's got out-wrestled, and people think like this and that. I mean, I still think this is my toughest fight, I think, out of the last three fights that I've fought. So it's like, for me to step forward, I don't care what, if they give me a ranked guy, I'll take a ranked guy. I'm not saying no to a ranked guy, you know, it's like better money and all that stuff. But for me, I was like, I just wanted to fight, you know?
And you, like, obviously he has been submitted. You haven't been able to get a UFC finish yet. Is this a fight you think you can finally get that first UFC finish under your belt?
I was like, as more I can say, let's not jinx it. Let's let it. We'll be ready to watch and see what happens. You know, I got you guys though. I'll make it very interesting for you guys.
And I know you have a couple of teammates fighting on some of these Fight Island cards. So are you guys all kind of going out there at once then?
So my coach is already there. We have Brandon fighting this weekend, Brandon Royval. And then we have Luigi fighting on October 3rd card. So all of them in there. So I'm just going to meet with them next week, actually.
And a new person to your camp is Alexander Hernandez. What's that been like training them? Because he's around that similar weight to you.
Oh man, it's been amazing, you know, to kind of feel the different style and just different mentality and how he deals with things and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool to have that little addition to the gym and to the fight team. So it's been great, man.
And you're someone I've talked to before and after all three of your UFC fights, and you've always said, oh, I'm going to bantamweight. Yeah, now lately you've been saying I'm staying at featherweight. Is that kind of the goal now then, is just staying at 145?
Yeah, man. You know, I was like, it's just like I went to the PI, did a bunch of testing and stuff like that. They were like, you have to be 0% body fat to make 35 and all that. I really don't think it's really that worth it for the sport right now and how much is the sport is evolving and how much better the sport is getting and all that stuff. So for me, it's like, it's my coaches, my decision, my coaches and all the smart guys that really go behind all this decision, you know? So it's not just me, you know, I was like, I was gonna fight at bantamweight, but they didn't think it was a great idea to kind of just like literally kill yourself to fight at bantamweight because you're gonna have size advantage or height advantage. But I just, like I said to them, I was like, the sport is changing so much. Everybody's getting good at it everywhere, you know. So you have to be good at everything, to be honest. So that's my goal and that's my what I'm chasing.
And with your opponent in Sungwoo Choi, he's obviously that kickboxing background. He has a bit of a reach advantage on him. Do you think this bigger cage at Fight Island honestly benefits him just because he has more room to move and you obviously like to close that distance?
I don't think nobody moves like me, to be honest. I was like, a lot of those guys said like, oh, like big cage is actually an advantage to me, to be honest. So for me, it's like to get to use my movement and just find everything that I need to, you know, especially against long guys, like I said, with advantage, height advantage over you and stuff like that. So for me, it's just another step for me and another advantage when I don't even know I'm fighting at the big cage. So I'm assuming we are.
Yeah.
Told me that. So yeah, I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
And I can, you always know when you're cornering a fight in the UFC, you can always hear you screaming. Do you get more nervous of fighting than you do when you're cornering some of your teammates?
No, actually, man, it's crazy. I get more nervous for my teammates than myself. It's insane. So I was like, oh God, like I want my teammates to go out there and really just, you know, just have fun and change their life, you know? And I was like, oh my God, like I can't. I'm like, oh, like especially when they get like positions, I'm like, get out, let's go, you know, like I have to be like technical, like call outs and stuff like that. I can't just be emotional, you know. So I was like, it's definitely nerve wracking, man. It's crazy.
And with going up to Fight Island, obviously a long flight, having to do that quarantine. Like, what are you gonna be doing during all that time down?
Hey man, I'm gonna be playing a lot of this. Tell you that a lot of.
Games, oh yeah. Tell you that. And when you fight in Fight Island, you're gonna be fighting pretty early, like because they cater it to the North Americans. You're gonna be fighting like I think it's like 4 or 5 a.m. So are you gonna just kind of keep your clock to North American time then?
I have no clue. I think my phone just switches the clock by itself. So I mean I go ask my coaches and all that stuff. They gotta figure it out for me. To be honest, I never fight outside. Like I experienced it with my teammates. They fight in Australia. And we fought like around 11 a.m. and the fights were done at 12 and we have the whole thing just hang out. And I mean, we didn't even know what to do, you know? And I was like, oh, that's crazy. But I mean, I experienced it with him, but I ain't never actually done it. So this is going to be first for me.
And most UFC contracts I know they sign are 4 fights. Are you already up or have you guys already renegotiated for this fight?
No, this is my new contract. This is my first fight of the new contract.
Is it pretty surreal that you've already fought out one contract? It's only been about like what, like 8 months?
Yeah, 2 fights in 1 month, and then yeah, total 6 months. I had 3 fights in 6 months.
This new deal, like how much does that help you just with not so then the UFC's obviously already showing a lot of faith in you. They're seeing it pushing you, they're getting you a lot of fights. They've already re-signed you. Like, do you kind of feel like the UFC is starting to get behind you?
I mean, I would hope so, man. I love fighting for the company and you know, like I'm changing my life and my family's life, you know. So for me it's like it's just another opportunity for me to really just go out there and do what I'm good at and really everything comes to you when you do everything you put in and have fun and really just go out there and do me. And like you said, the company will still follow you after that.
Your opponent hasn't fought since December of last year. You're a guy that likes to be active. How do you think that layoff's going to impact him?
It depends on the person, man, to be honest. I know sometimes when I take a break, I'm like, I'm a lot better. But sometimes when I take a long break, I'm terrible, you know? So it just depends on what kind of camp you train at, what kind of people you train around and stuff like that. So, I mean, I just feel like it's all about the stuff that you do outside than anything.
You said you think he's your hardest fight so far. Why do you think that is?
oh man, he just brings the fight to you, you know. It's like a lot of guys don't do that, you know. Usually they be very careful, but he brings the fight to you. So I'm just excited to kind of bring that dog out of me a little bit.
And he is 1-2 in the UFC, and if he goes 1-3, that might be it for him in the UFC. So do you think that's gonna add some motivation where he's might be fighting for his job?
I mean, that's fine. I would do the same thing if I was him. You know, it's the fight game. You know, it's the hurt business. You know, you always have your as they say, your life on the line. You know, you're like, oh, I go there, I get hurt, I lose, I'm out. You know, and stuff like that, man. It is what it is. You know, it's the name of the game. You know, you win some and learn some. You know, you get kicked out or keep going. So that's why a lot of people focus on winning and stuff like that. You know, so. I'm just ready to go from my side. You know, I really can care less about what he's doing to his stuff. You know, I hope he's ready and all that stuff because I am, you know.
Where do you think a win over him puts you in this division?
I don't even know how that works, you know. I was like, for me, I was like, go out there and win, you know, and then really looking either next year or the end of this year, you know. I was like, really just kind of keep the momentum going and keep the ball rolling.
Well, that's what I want to touch on. You're a guy that – you could fight the same month. Like, so do you think you can try to get to 5-0 in 2020, or do you think this is probably it for you this year?
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see how the body feels. You know, it's like a lot of guys say, you're young, this, that, you know, like, and that's what I said to people too. You know, I'm young, like, let's go, let's do it. Because, you know, when you get older, you really be smarter and stuff like that. You're really going to take fights and be like more 8 weeks, 9 weeks to camp. You know, for me, I was like, I really don't care, man. I was like, I'm young and I have opportunity for me to really just go out there and do what I love.
And a lot of people, like about a month ago, were shooing you in for that rookie of the year, the newcomer of the year in the UFC. But all of a sudden, we see this Khamzat Chimaev guy. He's stealing your thunder. He might be going 4-0 as well.
Hey, man. It is what it is. Like you said, it's the fight game, man. It is what it is. You got to have a guy above you, and it's how it works, man. My goal is just to do me, man. I care less about a rookie of the year or and all that stuff. And remember, winning, you guys are talking about it. That's all that matters, you know? You're like, oh, we got this kid, this 3-0, and he's fighting for it. You know, who cares? You know, it's winning and really having fun. That's what all matters to me.
And just last thing, out in Abu Dhabi, I don't know if you know, they have a lot of stuff for the fighters. Like, they have that racetrack, the golf course, the beach. Are you going to be taking part of any of that, or is it just strictly all about the fight?
Oh, yes, I am going definitely race driving. I cannot wait. I'm going to make sure that's like the top priority. I'm like, yo, I'll be driving some like Ferraris or something, man. Let me drive this.
And you get to go first class on the airplane too. Cause have you been seeing those videos they show on like to all the fighters? They get first class on the charter plane.
I mean, I hope I get first class. I was like, I don't even know what to do. I feel like I gotta act like I belong in there. So we'll see. We'll see.
All right, well, Yusuf, thank you again for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate it.